Following podcast contains profanity and is unsuitable for a child-friendly or work environment.
Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 150 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners.
Look, he's not dead.
Paul's not dead.
He's not dead.
Yeah. I've been allowed back on. It's very cool.
He's not in my basement. Do you like the what was that Eminem song?
Dr. Dre's not dead. He's not locked in my basement.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember. Eminem, he was a thing, wasn't he? He was the rapping Elvis, wasn't he?
Elvis? Yeah, he
was. That's what they sold him as, because Elvis was based on kind of black music.
Yeah.
Elvis's style. So he was like Eminem. He was the white saviour for rap.
But, anyway.
But didn't need saving. We're not talking about music.
No, we're not. Yeah, I've been allowed back on, listeners. So,
and you can tell it means so much to him to be back on that he's decided to give you 100 and I'm going to say 110% because footballers always do that. 110% of his attention by giving you 50% of his attention while painting.
I'm looking. Do you want me to look at your face? What do you want?
No, don't look at my face. Make love to the camera. Make love to the camera.
Whatever. Start paying me for this and I'll pay more attention.
It costs me money. Me pay you. I have to pay to make this thing happen.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
By the time I put in my Zoom costs and stuff, it's probably about £20 an episode. The speed we're putting them out. Anyway. So...
we. There's no we, is there? Like, refine that. Don't tar me with this latest thing.
Well, if we're going to do this online, on camera, the last two booked appointments, somebody hasn't shown up.
Two. I only remember one.
there was Saturday, and then there was 2 weeks before Saturday.
I mean, admittedly, I did not read the time of the last one. I never thought. A day recording. We never recorded a day.
Except for the previous one that you didn't attend.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, it's all water under the bridge.
Sure.
So, while Paul's been saving lives and...
Yep, that's true.
Marrying wives or whatever he's been doing. I've been doing bits and bobs of YouTubery.
Yeah, I mean, you've been very prolific, Barry.
Prolific, that's a good word.
Yeah, you've done loads, mate. Yeah.
Word of the day. Right, so the intro is we're not talking about anything particular because I thought we could try and do the Beastmen Army list, which was the episode 150 originally, but that wouldn't allow Paul to kind of...
I'm happy to do that. Yeah, like
you need to get all the stuff out. There's been a while since anybody's heard from you.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So we need to give you a good run at it. So there's going to be no boundaries. I'm going to sit back. We're going to watch the fireworks, see how long you go for. And and then we're going to talk a little bit about what I've been doing, a little bit about a listener email. It's always nice to get an email from a listener.
Yeah, totally.
And and then the next episode will be 151, will be the Beastmen Army review. Mm-hmm. But this is good. As episode 150 shouldn't be anything that structured. It should be just a free for all.
Fair enough. Then.
And as it's a proper podcast, that means it's I'm going to put it as an 18 plus, so I can swear. So that's nice.
Okay, that's cool. Yep, fucking right.
Fucking right. So, I'm having a Budweiser.
I've got Estrella Damm.
Estrella, isn't it?
Estrella Damm.
I don't know. Let's have a look at the bottle.
Estrella Damm.
I can't see. Go on, stick it up.
Boring.
Estrella.
Yep.
This bud's in. It's a Biden bud.
Biden bud.
He's not giving up, Trump, though, is he? Fucking hell, he's going to take the ship down with him. He's bombing his own. You know when they say we're not being captured, mate? It's like it's a scorched earth. We're going to sink our own fucking fleet. Bollocks to him.
I don't really understand his. ideas, as in terms of like what he hopes to gain from not admitting defeat. I don't really get that. Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah. So, as in, what is he hopes going to happen?
He's going to get re-elected in 4 years' time.
Well, yeah, but that's not going to. So, but by not allowing Biden, like not admitting defeat and allowing the process to continue, what is he hoping to gain?
To hamstring the next fucker.
But I mean, he probably already has done that with the mixture of like Democrats and Republicans across the board
in the Senate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't get the whole, oh, we just, we'll continue. We've lost the election, but we won't legitimize it. I mean,
it literally is a scorched earth policy. It's just like exactly what they did when the Russians were pulling back or whatever in Second World War. Just burn the fucking ship. I'm not going to let you take any of this shit with you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have the land. The land's all dead. We put salt in it. What are you going to grow in that?
Salted the fields.
What are you going to grow in that? Bollocks to you. But that's what it feels like. Honestly, every day it's just like, I can imagine him just sitting like in his boxer shorts, just getting pissed up on Bud.
Yeah.
Eating hamburgers in his bathrobe.
He's just down the golf course, isn't he?
Well, that's like weekends. What does he do in the week?
Don't know.
What does he do in the week? He sits in his pants, eating burgers, drinking Budweiser.
Yeah.
Like a redneck. Anyway, we shouldn't be slagging him off. We've got our own problems.
Oh, God, yeah.
Dominic Cummings has gone today.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that was a bit of the spitting image cartoon about it was very funny.
I loved it. The wobbly-eyed alien.
Yeah. It's just, but they've already put out one about Cummings leaving the place. It's quite, yeah, it's good. I like the new spitting image. It's quite funny.
Was it available? Because I had like BritBox.
Well, no, but this is on YouTube. What they choose to show on YouTube, the free ones, basically.
Right, the little clips or whatever.
Yeah, well, like little, the, you know, it's a sketch show, so they show some sketches free on YouTube.
It's not worth the BritBox subscription, but there's
nothing else I'd want on BritBox. So, yeah,
I can talk about one thing I did watch on BritBox because I didn't get it for me, but got it for Mrs. P, who wanted to watch a program called Vera. I watched something called The Survivors, which I hadn't realised I'd watched when I was a kid, and this was out in the late '70s. Mm-hmm. And this fucking program scared the living shit out of me when I was a kid. I remember now, it was full of rabid dogs and people killing each other over bloody tins of beans and stuff. It was miserable.
Well, what was it post-nuclear apocalypse?
No. So what happened was there was a virulent plague. Who'd have thunk it?
Hang on. I'm gone.
But this plague wiped out a lot. I mean, it was probably 98-99% of everybody.
Oh, so like the opposite of our plague.
Yeah, it's opposite. But so obviously society's ranged. There's nobody left to do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're back to the blacksmith and the bloody witch doctor are the most important people in any society because they can actually do shit.
Yeah.
So I was just watching this through and I was like, I can't believe my parents let me watch this as a kid. No wonder I'm so fucked up. Because it's like, it's by the guy, Terry Nation, who did Blake 7 and Doctor Who and stuff.
I know fantastic. That name. I know, obviously, I know what Doctor Who is, but never watched Blake 7.
You should watch Blake 7. That was phenomenal.
Whatever it is, likes from before my time.
Well, right. So, so Star Wars, mate. You've watched that.
Go on, anyway.
So I was just saying, BritBox, I watched this program. If you want to watch something, it's a bit weird. I mean, and the amount of rabies. No wonder I was scared of dogs as a kid. Jesus Christ. Because all the dogs, there were like packs of wild dogs all running around with rabies because there was nobody to look after them. So they just became wild again.
Okay, yeah.
And they were like eating people and killing people all the time. Beautiful, beautiful. So that was good. It was good to get your mind off the pandemic by watching another pandemic. Right, come on, Paul. Let's hit them with it. What have you been doing? For
3 months. Is that how long you've kept me off air?
I haven't kept you off air, mate. You haven't been doing anything.
Okay. What, like hobby-wise?
Yeah. Pre-lockdown hobby-wise.
Well, I mean, I finished the Bretonian Army. and painted up the finished up the Teutonic Knights army and Bretonians, and did all the units that made you uniquely Bretonian as well. I've painted your demons completely. So I did your demon army. And then I did the extra units that you released just to your website. That is also on my shelves here. It's a completely finished thing. And I'm currently doing if you can see it probably, but there's like this, all of these guys to do for a black powder.
Put them back. They're the wrong fucking scale. What are you doing?
But that's the scale these people want to play the game at, isn't it? And I'm currently, so I've done a battalion of infantry, and honestly, Barry, like Napoleonics, like I've done more, like watched more YouTube videos about it and stuff, and actually reread a couple of sharp books, like one set around the battles, basically, like Talavera and Fuentes de Ontario and Salamanca, and it's a really fascinating period of history, really, Napoleonics, in terms of it's the war of the military tailor. Basically, everyone looks so ostentatious. It's like going to war in your mess dress. And it's just, I just can't get over how do they keep, like, make this such uniforms? Like, they're fantastic. Like, and, like, if you look at a unit of hussars who are flamboyant, and in a flamboyant period of history, they're considered flamboyant. They're like, honestly, they're just ridiculous. They're going to war in bits of clothing that have no purpose, like a half jacket, like, which literally you can't even put on. It's just worn on one arm, like off one shoulder. And it's like, what's the point in that?
Well, you've got to die looking good.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, it looks nice.
I've been reading Bernard Cornwall's Waterloo. That's a good book.
Because
he's a good fella. And it's historical. It's not too much fiction, this one.
It's been cool. Yeah, and they are tricky to paint, but when you get the effect done, it looks cool. It looks nice. Yeah. I've also been picking up quite a few things on eBay, gotten into the habit of finding a few scenery makers on eBay and picking up some scenery boards. So when we're back to playing physical games again, it'd be like, we have lots of nice new scenery to play with, all pre-painted stuff. So it's quite cool. For quite a few game systems. I can't speak about games played, of course, because, that's been life, hasn't it?
Let me show you something. Let me share this screen. I was on talking to somebody on the rules committee who we met in Bruno.
All right, yeah.
He's got like 17 different names. I just call him James Bond because he's got names within names within names. So and this is a game that they play, and it's based in I think it's like 16th century. Around the Poland and all the shit that went around there, and it's fantastic, like little 15 mil.
I saw this. So yeah, when I was last in a hobby shop, they had some models of this.
By Fire and Sword.
Is it a Polish company?
Yeah. Mm. And he does the army. I know we were talking about it, and on our Tuesday Zoom call for the committee.
Yeah.
And I was like, it seems. I questioned, where are we, man? There's no Worms Scotia here. There's no Britannia. Yeah. Surely we got our fingers in this pie. We had them in every other fucking pie. Can we not play as the Grand Britannia? Apparently not. Nope. We need to find. We'll have to be like the Space Marines or something. but this was really good. You think that the hobby's really small because that's the only bit you see.
But
it isn't, and it's certainly not just UK centric. So I thought I'll throw out a little post to this. If people want to get involved in, I can't pronounce this, ac.oim.wargamer.pl, but by Fire and Sword. Have you seen that in shops then?
Yeah, no, it was. what shop? I can't remember the name now or what it was called. We've played Warmaster in it before. But yeah, no, it had a bit of it on the shelf.
Is this when you were up in the Midlands?
Yeah, that's right. I just because obviously attracted to the scale. I was like, what is this? And yeah, so
sounds that wrong. 15 mil sounds wrong to me. It sounds a bit too big.
5 mil too much.
50% too big.
Yep.
50% less beef. And with her. Mm-hmm. So that was good stuff. So what else have you been up to?
This second lockdown,
lockdown, what a piece of shit. The lockdown, I live on a main road. Listen, man, there was like 2-3 cars an hour. It's busier than a normal fucking day. There are so many cars. Where the fuck is everybody going?
I don't know. But, my daughter's preschool is still open. My clinical master's is gone online. That's happening. So been doing that. And Hannah's studio is still open. Not to the public, but she can go work in it. I don't really know why. So apart from social, there is no change in this lockdown for us, as in terms of the things that we were doing, which has made it a lot more bearable than lockdown one. Lockdown two is quite easy.
It was funny, I was just getting out of lockdown one before lockdown two started coming on, because we went in a little bit early in Essex. Mm-hmm. We had restrictions before the rest of the country had restrictions.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was, I didn't quite understand why, but I mean, we are quite an old county. So I guess you're shooting fish in a barrel, if there's more fish in the barrel, it's easier to hit a fish, isn't it?
The reason Essex County Council gave was that they wanted us to go into lockdown early so we could come out of it for Christmas. Mm. But then the whole country went into a lockdown, and that plan didn't really work, did it?
Yeah, I mean, Essex is full of old people. Fact.
Suppose, yeah.
It is. But where I live, it's like land of the zombies, man. Broomfield.
Well, the thing is, since this vaccine is like, and friends of mine on this course, there's some people people I know on this course who work in GP surgeries, they're prepping to receive the vaccination, that's going to then be rolled out in a stage release to the demographic. So I don't know when they'll decide, right, enough people have had this vaccine or etc. I mean, it is a massive logistics problem, obviously. Like, how do you vaccinate the world? I don't know. But the end game of it is coming. It's like there'll come a point where once you've vaccinated the relevant categories and you start working down, it's like, is there a need to have any restrictions anymore? Because you vaccinate the vulnerable first, don't you?
Well, hey, I'm on the list, fella. I'm on the list, and not because of my work either. Because of my demographic.
Well, you'll get it long after me.
That's true. We've already had it, so what difference?
Yeah, but I'll just get it for being a frontline worker.
Get two. Yep. Buy one, get one free.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
I mean, it'll be nice. I'm looking forward to, but I'm not counting any chickens because. Mm-hmm. I've seen that film Contagion, and when they got the vaccine and started dishing out the vaccine, that was the beginning of the final year of shit, really. It wasn't like a overnight everything's sunny and rosy.
No, because you've got to give it to everybody, as in the first place. You've got to like them to have the vaccine.
What if you've got 40 million doses and they need two each? Well, that's 20 million people. Yeah. And then they say, well, it might not last that long. Well, so maybe you need two lots in a year. So what, you're down to 10 million people. That's only a sixth of the population anyway, isn't it? So
you give it to the most vulnerable sick. I mean, but there comes a point where it viably, you just have to continue because economy has to happen. Like at the moment, it's pretty strongly worded that we're coming out in December the 2nd.
No, we're not.
But it's pretty worded that we are.
No, it's not. It's worded that these restrictions are ending.
Yeah, these restrictions.
That doesn't mean we're coming out. That just means these particular restrictions are ending.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we ain't coming out. They're already furloughing people till March. Why would they pay people till March if we're coming out in January, in December?
You're telling me that there are some people then who will have gone an entire year on furlough from March to March.
Yep, 80% salary to sit at home.
I mean, like, I think that's remarkably generous, isn't it? Really?
It tends to not be people in public, in private companies. It tends to be like, if you try and get hold of anybody from local councils, they don't exist. They're all at home.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not going to slag them off. Fair play to them. You do the same and give them the choice.
Yeah, I'd love someone to pay me 80% to stay at home.
That
would be fantastic. Like,
apparently, even better than what you're doing now is two of the people I was talking to in the week. We had a rules committee Zoom call on Tuesday. Oh,
when was it? Tuesday.
If you learn to read, then the world is your oyster, Paul.
No, I think I was at work.
Okay, so the two of the people on the IT people who work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And they say what they do is, because they have to be on calls quite a lot, is they just turn off the video and paint.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're sitting there listening. They can listen and paint. Nobody sees them painting.
That's what I'm doing. You reminded me about that chat.
There was but then on a funny story today, obviously today or yesterday, I heard that somebody who was on a Zoom call, quite a senior official in a law company, and he hadn't realised that his video wasn't off, and he got his John Thomas out and was kind of pleasuring himself. And he didn't realise, and then he got sacked.
Of course. He
was quite senior. I can't remember the fella's name, but Jesus Christ. Imagine that, you're such a... Will you tackle that? I think he had something on another screen, so fuck knows what he was watching.
Of course. Bit of red tube. Then like, go.
Getting paid. I mean, he's paid to pay. He's getting paid for something else. Jesus.
Exactly. Like, smart, if you ask me.
Well, until he gets caught and exposed.
Yeah, we shouldn't have been doing it, should he? But never mind.
Anyway, I won't talk about his name. We don't want to get into any legal discord. So you've been painting, you've been doing a bit of playing. Do you want to talk about any of the stuff you've been doing playing-wise?
Well, since we recorded last, I did play Jim, some practice game, or some War Master, where he was going through the Nippon list. Is that right? No, Cafe list.
I mean, that was a valid question that maybe it would be worth posting up some lists and some tactics and stuff that you used in these said training games, testing games.
Yeah. It was about what the cafe were doing rather than what I was using. But it was cool. It was like, first game was, I used Tomb Kings in quite a defensive list. So his main difference was he was trialing out a unit of like Iron Guts as the ogres instead of regular ogres. And I think it was necessary, because anyway, that game ended up going to me. You know, I won that one. The second game I used Dark Elves. So he used the same list three times. I used Dark Elves and I basically beat myself.
Oh, don't tell D you didn't take the scepter. Didn't take the scepter.
Yeah,
30 points yet.
Yeah, waste of points.
Waste of 30 points. Oh, I'll kill my Manticore hero. Oh no.
So I rolled two blunders in two turns. My general was Command 8 then, and I basically everything just went wrong. And
really? So it's not nice playing with an orc general, yeah?
Well, no, it wasn't just girls. It wasn't just that. It was just I managed to roll. I had a standard of shielding, and I managed to roll ones and twos with everything.
Again, that is a complete noob item. Sorry, people take it. I mean, take it if you want to take it, but that's 50 points. You're giving up a unit most of the time to take.
Yeah, so that didn't work. So basically, we didn't need to play that one through because I basically beat myself in two, three turns. And then the last game was Vampire Counts against his cafe. Massive grind on that one. I mean, But vampire counts are a really good army, aren't they?
I love them. They're probably, if I'm not being cheesy and trying to exploit like Lizardmen or Leadership 10, Vampire Counts are my go-to army. I love them.
Yeah, I mean, they were really good and they ground out Cathay just. So anyway, the takeaway of those three games was, are Cathay overpowered? No. Do they need, like, as in, this change, does it make them too good? No, I don't think it did. Like, you know, Jim's a fair player, but I beat him twice, you know, with decent armies. So it's like, yeah, it's fine. And they certainly feel different enough from, like, compared to playing Empire, for example.
Good, because you don't want them to be like Empire.
Well, no, exactly, because
Empire.
They have to exist. They have to be a reason why you would play them, instead of Empire. And I think that's, yeah, I was like, okay, they've come up with a good thing there. So positives for that. And that's cool. Yeah. I can't really think of other stuff I've done.
I know what's happened. Jan has won another tournament that I didn't play in.
Oh, yeah, well, that was ages ago now. Yeah.
So he won with Gobblins.
I can't believe it. I can believe it. I can't believe it. Like, how?
If you build artillery goblins, they're quite... I remember playing against Jeff in a Triwiz, and he had artillery goblins, which is the list I'm guessing that Janus ran. And it was fucking hard work to play against. I just gave him a draw in the end because there was no way I was getting over there and winning. Janus is good with artillery. I mean, he's a dwarf player extraordinaire. So giving him twice as much artillery and a load of chaff to protect them with. Oh, yeah, man.
I mean, he just used it was all these all spear bolt throwers. So it was all the spear chuckers he took. No doom divers.
No.
I can't really tell you. Like, it's in. I played him and I was like, overconfident because I was like, goblins are shit.
Well,
like,
I'm gonna Janus isn't shit.
Yeah, no, and I was like, okay, it's Janus, but still, it's like, goblins are shit. I'll run straight over him, and then I didn't, and I was like, I ended up losing. I can't even, like, honestly, I was like befuddled. I was just like, what happened there? Like, how did I lose that game? That was like, I shouldn't lose. Yeah, but he did it. He won with goblins. So
how many,
like,
trolls?
Not. I'd say, like, it didn't seem like his.
He must have had at least two. I'd be pushing more than two, but he must have had at least two trolls. I mean, somebody's got to fight. Somebody's got to fight.
Well, that's the point. He had a big army. It was just that, I don't know, luck of Janus. I think there were Yeah, there were elements where dice, hang on, how did I not win that fight? And then that was it. Like, the scenario was traitors. And right when I'm about to, like, okay, this should do it now. I've pushed, like, enough of my stuff has gotten up, you know, like, and just keep charging him. My unit of Grail Knights turned on me and they became Janna's Grail Knights. And it was just like, oh. Well,
you're not getting out of that. Grail Knights are impressive, to say the least, on a charge.
Yeah, so the Grail Knights, the anti-Grail Knights really messed me up. But there you go. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Hmm. But I wasn't the only one to lose to him with bloody goblins.
Gobblins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, worst case scenario, you lose a stand of goblins, gobblins, a unit of gobblins. Whereas you're losing a unit of Grail Knights.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it's just, you know, Napoleon would always ask of his generals, like, how are they lucky? And it's like, and Janus combines, like, skill and luck. And it's like, he's just when it needs that, when it matters, he fucking gets lucky, doesn't he? Like, in this case, literally, I was about to, like, right, and here comes the hammer now. Those Grail Knights are now yours. Ugh, yeah. I'm not saying that was the only thing that, like, meant I didn't win, but it bloody helped. It was like, but it was a cool scenario. Like,
I've got to get in. He only lost one game in 2019 with Wood Elves.
I mean, you can't.
Only won one game all year. And he played. He won like bloody three or four tournaments.
Yeah, exactly.
Monster.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the records, like, you can't really use 2020 to mean much because there's obviously been little organised play.
Yeah, but, you tell Jim. Certainly very little COVID secure organised play.
Wow. Risks must happen, Barry. Risks must happen.
Anyway, but for the listeners that didn't know, I was the only person to beat Janice in 2019 with my Lizardmen, who was filthy as dirt. As filthy as buddy, what's his face? Sylvester Stallone in Rambo 2 when he comes out of the bloody dirt, covered in dirt.
Comes out of the dirt, yeah.
All you see is a pair of eyes.
That's like, first blood.
That's how filthy bloody Lizardmen are. Anyway, I'm going to get another beer. So, MasterChef. Who watches MasterChef?
Oh my God, how boring.
Anton's out as well. Muppet. You always get some old woman that's got no chance.
I know it's not fair, but you're up to speed with the latest news on that. He's the judge.
Why? Who's left?
So Otie's sister, I've forgotten her name, the one who shouldn't be a judge, basically, has had to go because they're from Germany, I think. And had to go to Germany, so has to isolate now. So obviously they've put Anton into the judge's position for until she's back.
So fantastic. What he has to do is he's become Len Mark II. That's his only shot. That's his only shot.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't try and be attractive. He just has to be some old non-sexual bloke.
Basically, yeah.
Like Bruce. Mm. Brucey.
Mm-hmm. So, be really cool. When I come in from work tomorrow, that is going to get watched. Something to look, it's best news since, it's better news than the vaccination, that.
Really? Anton's back.
Anton's into a judge's role. Fantastic.
Fantastic.
It's my wife's fault for making me watch this. Like,
nobody makes me do anything, sir. Wives, kids, nothing. I'll do it if I want to do it.
Is that why you get on so well?
That's me. I'm saying I'll do it if I want to do it, but nobody's making me do shit. Go on.
No, sure, you carry on.
No,
you're digging your grave there. Carry on.
The grave's already dug, fella. Next thing I'm going to talk about quickly, I'm going to talk about Mr. Sherwin's Steamforged games have a new thing out, don't they?
Yes, they do. A thing called Bard's Song.
So I shared it on the screen here. They're on, how many days? 13 days to go. So they've gone about, I think it was a weird, like 15 or 16 day run. I don't know. Shorter the better for these things. £75.
Just scroll it up to their targets there. Like, they're well over. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, but the target's like, if they got 76 grand, they'd all be going out and shooting each other. It'd be like Harry Kerry out the bloody back of Steamforged Games in Stockport. What are you going to do with 76 grand? You won't even get the tooling done in China for that. You're looking to pay the sculptors.
Well, okay, anyway.
So anyway, I mean, the 76 grand, it's just a number, isn't it? It's a number that they'd hope to double or treble in the first couple of days, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yep.
So you've got nearly 4,000 backers. This is the thing that if you heard the podcast with Sherwin, which is very good, the first one of the interviews podcasts, He couldn't talk about some IP due to an NDA, non-disclosure, and this was it, I guess. Bard's Song.
Barry, if you're talking about the podcast, the interviews one, why didn't you ask more War Master questions to Rick Priestley?
Because that's not what it was about.
Well, it should have been. It's the fucking War Master podcast.
I've got to be honest. The reason I've paused it is A, because I'm doing other shit and I've only got so much life. But B, the general questions were a bit shit. So as interesting, I think John and Rick and Sherwin, they all put in some reasonable stuff about the general questions. But at the end of the day, how much do people really want to know about your journey into wargaming or this or that? They want to know controversy. I think Rick was what was the word to use for him? Rick was he was fantastic with the stuff he gave away in that podcast.
Yeah, but he should have asked more questions about War Master.
It was a very, it was a difficult concept, because what I had to do is write a script, approach the person, in this case, Rick, and say, look, Rick, can you answer these 10 questions? And then he would send the voice files back separately. I sent him a voice recorder to record into, actually, is how I did that one.
All right, okay.
And then I post-edited it. Do you remember the old digital recorder that always needed a AAA battery, and it was always out of battery?
Yeah.
When I came around to yours.
Yeah.
I sent that in the post-it.
Right. And he sent it back.
And he sent it back after using it. I mean, Santa dress envelope included and all
I mean, it's bloody impressive that you actually got an interview with Rick Priestley. I think that's amazing. But equally, you then didn't ask him any questions.
I asked the question I needed to ask. I was like Jonah and the whale, fella, when I threw in this big worm on the end of my hook.
Yeah.
And tried to pull in the leadership 10. when he said, I'll tell you, when he said that leadership 10 is an army list issue, not a game issue, that was like music to my ears.
Yeah.
Because what in my dreamland, when I'm on my Hawaiian island drinking a pina colada.
Yeah.
All suntanned and oiled up. And I'm looking back at Leadership 9, the High Elves, with lots of toys. That's what I want to play with. I want to play with the Leadership 9 High Elf army with loads of toys.
Okay.
Because the problem is with High Elves, you can't give them anything. Ever since the game was created, we've been taking stuff away from them. Everybody's, you have to have a tournament list. Then you have to have a tournament list where they remove shooting. And then you have to, the magic has to get worse. And then the spell list is garbage. And it's like, you can't give them anything, because the problem is this bloody Leadership 10 thing. Because the Leadership 10 makes games just end on Silverhelm charges in flanks. And the game's over. I lost that GT final against The Man Who Would Be King, Paul. Mm-hmm. And it was down to a 3-order charge with Silverhelms that just ate my entire fucking army. And it's like, well, it's over. It's over. Yep. I can try and fight my way through this, but it's done. It's done, because the scenario was all about being spaced out.
Yeah, yep.
My leadership means that with Lizardmen, it's really difficult to be in multiple places at once.
Yep.
Because of the kind of hindrance on how far you can order. You can only ever order stuff 50 centimetres, roughly. And you have to kind of keep stuff together. Whereas High Elves, you get that general, he's throwing stuff everywhere. So imagine playing them. You've got your 3-up shooting reavers back. You've got your 3-up shooting bolt throwers back. You've got, like, you can have magic that's as good as Lizardman magic. Because if you look at the High Elf, and people say, oh, High Elf spell list is good. You've got a High Elf spell list and you've got the Lizardman spell list. Which one are you taking?
Probably the Lizardman one.
It's not even close. The Lizardman spell list is so much better than the High Elf spell list. It's just like crazy.
Yeah. Okay, point made.
Lizardman spell list. Right, Lizardman spell list. Armor buff. Fantastic. Yep. Even if you put that on a unit of spearmen, that gives them 4-up armor. That's pretty good on a unit of spearmen.
Yep.
Second spell, 3 shooting attacks, no armor save. That's a good spell.
Yep.
Next one, 4-up. You can't charge or pursue.
Yeah.
That spell shuts down things like Grail Knights all day long. Dragon Ogres, you ain't playing with those Dragon Ogres. You've got a Greater Demon. You're not using your Greater Demon. You've got 300 points watching in the wings. He's drinking and eating kebabs and stuff. He's not playing.
Yeah.
And the fourth one used to be the best spell in the game, the movement spell.
Yep.
Admittedly, it costs you a wizard, but that wizards are cheap in the Lizardmen.
Yep.
The spell list, apart from maybe your vampire counts, is as good as it gets.
Okay, yeah. I mean, speaking of spell, like, I did have a document like to talk about like later. Oh no, you can't see my camera, can you?
I can show your camera.
So someone's done a nice bunch of graphics for like a spell decks on War Master Revolution. It was like home. Yeah, sorry, carry on.
So I'll tell you. So what do High Elves have, Paul? You can't look it up. You've got to tell me what they are. I've told you Elizabeth because it's easy.
They've got a combat buff one, haven't they? Where people get an extra attack.
One attack per unit within 30 centimetres.
That's right, yeah.
Ooh. One attack per unit?
But it affects every unit.
Oh, wow. Mm.
They've got a unit shoots again.
It used to be good when they had 3-up shooting on Reavers.
Yeah. That's true.
Not so good on four up shooting.
No, that's true.
I'm telling you, not so good. Because the shoot again was at plus one to hit.
Yeah, so it was. Yeah,
a four became a five.
Yeah. Mm. Nah. I can't think of the others.
Exactly. There you go. Point proven. Point proven.
All right.
Because they don't even. I've built high elf lists. I haven't even bothered with a wizard unless I'm taking a dispel scroll. Because what's the point? They ain't doing nothing anyway.
Yep, I suppose so.
Ain't doing nothing anyway. So I'll better get rid of this so you can see us again. You can see Paul's lovely face. So what are you going to share? What have we got to share with the collective?
Well, it's just. So I just noticed on the Warmaster Facebook group was a guy who had done like spell cards and stuff, and like not for every army in the game, but just like making markers for, like, obviously I guess the armies he's most interested in, just like, and then spell cards, yeah, you know, just so you wouldn't have to have them in the army book. Just a little thing, just a little extra resource. Like, there you go, River spell markers.
I say what's happened this week, just a small thing. My godson, who's mid-20s and a policeman in Brighton now, he's not like a kid anymore, but he's my godson anyway, his dad, my uncle, contacted me and said he wants to get into Skaven.
All right.
And what would I recommend him buying? I said, well, Age of Sigmar is rubbish.
Yeah, in what system?
Age of Sigmar.
Oh dear.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. So I'd recommend he goes back about 10 years when a book in Skaven was good fun to have.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd recommend to him. I'd recommend him not to play Age of Sigmar and come and play Warmaster. And I'll get him a Skaven army for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just thought it was funny because who in their right mind would play Age of Sigmar and as a person that's never wargamed before, choose Skaven?
I don't know.
What is the attraction? I don't understand it.
You'd have thought that they'd go for the Golden Boys.
Well, I'm proud of the fact he didn't go for the Golden Boys.
Yeah.
I'm proud of the fact he went off piste. He didn't go for Flying Dwarves or the Golden Boys. But I mean, if you're going to play Horde, get your Orcsies in there or your Undead or something. It's like Skaven.
I mean, as far as I know, they have some playability in that game system. I just have no interest in that.
What's the big stuff, though? Have they got like a giant horned rat or something? What is it? Because everything's got some massive stuff now, is it? What are they going to have?
Well, they just have it's the same models from Warhammer 7th edition for them. Yeah, they didn't get
a doom pit and stuff. A doom pit.
A doom wheel and the screen.
No, they have a pit done. They're hell pit or something. Or
hell pit abomination. The gravel pit.
The Wu-Tang clan, yeah? The gravel pit abomination.
No, they're a legacy army from Warhammer that shouldn't be there, really.
But they've got a battle tome now, so they're official.
Well, they always had a battle tome. They always had that.
Yeah, but it was like, is there a battle tome for Bretonnian then, is there?
No. Okay. Point made, yeah.
Bretonnian. Forget about them.
Fuck them. Yeah.
Albion, fuck them. Empire? Who?
Yeah.
Space Marines, you mean?
No.
They did it again. I love the Warmaster Facebook group. Like, it's not that often. It's maybe like every 2-3 months somebody comes, has anybody sculpted some 10 mil Space Marine? Get the fuck out.
Get out.
No, get out now. How are you going to balance these retards? Every one of them's a Chaos Warrior.
They come down on lightning. It's great.
like Thor with his one eye.
There you go. They can't die. They just get reborn. They come back down again.
That's it. You kill a stand, it just respawns.
Pick where you want it to respawn. Done.
Brilliant. Mm. Brilliant. So what else we've got to talk about?
There's a committee, the topics there are Warmaster Rules Committee.
Oh, we're on to me.
Yeah.
I'm three cans in, so I'm going to have to keep up. Warmaster Rules Committee, one of the things I've been doing over the summer and the lockdown. We are now at 21 members this weekend.
Woo!
That's a lot, fella.
Excellent. Any more Brits?
Yes.
There is?
Yeah.
Who?
Ian Stanley.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, good.
I mean, that's insider knowledge. By the time this is published, hopefully it's not insider knowledge.
Oh, okay.
But
oh, good.
I wanted to get somebody in that's a big hitter, and Ian's as good as it gets. He runs his own tournament. He doesn't play by anybody else's rules. That tournament he ran was as left field as anything I've ever come across. I mean, I won all three games and came like fifth.
Yeah, that's true.
I came behind people that lost games.
Yeah, didn't even podium. Like,
what?
Win everything, don't podium. Yep.
It's how it's done. It was a bizarre system. So
Ian, I thought Standing, it was just.
He does. Yep. He does. Apart from Peter Lamb, who's on in a league of his own, really.
Yeah.
Sickening, isn't it? How good he is.
Yeah.
But you got Peter Lamb. Then Ian, his YouTube work is brilliant.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
They're brilliant. And then you got those shithouses at the end here that just. Amateurs.
Then we've got you with your thumbnail. Like, I'm very good, getting very good at looking at your thumbs, Barry. Like, oh, here's my thumb on the camera.
I need to moisturise. They look really rough.
I'm like, bloody hell, like, Barry, this is a big shot on your thumb here. Like, this is all this video is. It's just like you and your thumb.
Maybe that's what the thumbnail's all about.
Yeah, you should wear nails for it. Fake nails.
I'll try that next time. I'll get my daughter to paint my nails for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So the rules committee is up to 21. The voting window's opening in January. I'm expecting big things.
So this is our major and minor suggestions, isn't it?
Every person is allowed to bring one major, and I think it's three minor.
Oh, right, really?
There's going to be a new forum opening. Chris is working on it. I'm a member of this new forum. It's only me and Chris at the moment. So it's going to be called, I can't remember, Experimental, Warmaster Experimental Forum or Ooh. Something. Open to everybody.
Yeah,
so rather than trying to post on Facebook and then find a post that you did 3 weeks ago that nobody can find.
Yeah, yeah.
There's actually going to be a place for people to bring suggestions. The committee members will be on that forum. It will be discussed. It will be thrashed out. If somebody wants to champion that, it can go into the main forum and it can get voted on in January.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's a, yeah, got it.
It's like a trawler, a fishing trawler.
Fishing trawler. So
you throw your nets out wide and then drag through and hopefully you find some good stuff. And once a year in January, we had a voting window.
Yep.
We're not looking at the game rules. The game rules are fixed. Mm-hmm. Any changes to game rules will be done through optional rules, house rules and stuff that you can add in, like light cavalry rules, scouting rules, whatever rules.
Yeah.
But we'll be looking at army lists. And hopefully over January, we get some good work done.
Have you thought about what your major would be?
Well, there's too many. It's slowly catchy monkey. I'm going to let Alice do the really major stuff, the real groundbreaking stuff, I think.
So you're not even going to suggest one?
Oh, for sure. But I don't know what I think what my mind has done.
I'll need clarification on what's a major and what's a minor.
But it can't be a wish list.
Yeah.
It's got to have some basis in reality. So if you want... I want to have a halfling army. So why? Why are you just proxy goblins?
Yeah, okay.
You
know? Okay.
Unless you can find a real reason that halflings are going to be that different to goblins. What is it that halflings do that goblins don't do?
What's our definition between what's major and minor?
There's some criteria that mean minor. Like basically, minor is like you're amending how something behaves slightly or the points cost of something slightly. Oh, major is... I'm taking, what's the one we're arguing the toss about all the time? Bull centaurs. Bull centaurs, isn't it? If you want to repurpose bull centaurs as something else, that's a pretty major rule.
Yeah, it's a major. Yeah, cool.
Because we're not talking about just amending, like, oh, we've taken 10 points. We're actually saying bull centaurs now are something completely different.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Or if you want to try and bring in a new list, but you'll really have to work hard to bring in a new list because we've already got 25.
Yeah. It's I can't think, I mean, I can think of like themed lists, but I can't, there's no unique list, like as in faction list.
So the two things that are important, if you're going to change something big, there has to be a reason why you're doing it. And there has to be thought through. So, like, if you want to get rid of Leadership 10 High Elves, you're going to have to do it in a way.
That's a big one.
I'm just saying, just to put it out there, it's going to have to be done in an elegant way. It's going to have to be done in a way that doesn't impact the game as it's written. So, because the High Elf list still exists. The actual High Elf list that we based Revolution on was a tournament list. It wasn't even the High Elf list. The High Elf list is still in the rule book. It looks nothing like what we play. So it would have to be, I'm guessing, you'd have to do something like a tournament list, and then that would have to be an optional thing, and you could use, and over time, if people preferred the tournament list like they did for High Elves, then you'd adopt it. But it's not something that you can brute force into the game, that Leadership 10 thing. It has to be done sensibly.
So I'm guessing, like, Orcs having access to the Warband rule as a major.
You'd have to describe why they'd have access to it and what it would mean and who it would apply to.
Makes them a bit different and makes them probably fits their army quite well.
Yeah, but the problem is that going forward, they're already incredibly good.
But that actually might then offset their terrible other stuff.
But going forward, they're already incredibly strong. The problem isn't when they're going forward. Mm-hmm. So Warband are only good when they're going forward and charging, yeah?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
They're already very good at that. Mm-hmm. So how would making them better at that make the army better? Because they're already very good at that. I'm not sure anything hits harder than Orcs going forward.
Oh, I see. So, but you could just do an element of it where in Warband, they get a +1 to command if there's 3 or 4 units or with the Warband rule together.
I think would be a more elegant way of dealing with Orcs is like, the problem with Orcs is they get into command range that on an 8. So they move to 8, they're within 20. Now it's a 6. 6 is shit. So half the time they fail it and then they get counter charged. Give them some kind of bonus making that charge.
Oh, okay. So yeah.
So maybe they're +1 to charge.
So that could be a general rule. And also, yeah, it's an army rule, and it would say like Orcs want to fight, or something like that. And so it's like if the order is going to bring a unit into contact, +1 to command,
+1 to attack, +1 to command when you're charging, +1 for the roll.
Yeah,
obviously that's not going to work if they're trying to run away because they don't want to run away.
Yeah, no, exactly. So it's like if they will make contact, then if the proposed order move will bring combat, then it's +1 to order.
To at least one part of the brigade. Because the way it works is you only have to contact with one and the rest can run away.
Because that's the rules of the game system, yeah.
But I think the hardest thing and the thing I'm going to struggle most with is when people build stuff or do stuff, they only ever think of the positive. So, like, you build an army list. You want the best of this, the best of that, the best of the other. Where is the negatives? Every army list has negatives. It's not just a string of positives. Like, I've been playing Vampire Counts in the Discord League that we're going to talk about in a minute. Mm-hmm. A massive negative about Vampire Counts is when do you send your knights in to fight and they get involved in the fight and they do their good work or they don't or whatever, but they get dinged up and then you start losing stands.
Yep.
There was no initiative. How are you going to order these idiots?
Yeah.
When they're deep in enemy line and they've got no initiative. So you can't flee them. You can't charge them.
That's the negative of the army, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. But until you play them, you don't realize how big a negative that is. Because with other armies, you kind of split your knights off so they can't be caught together. So I've gone in. We've had a fight. I've lost a couple of stands, one from each unit, and you've lost some stuff, and it's a draw or whatever. And I'll pull back, and I might not necessarily put my stuff together. I might split them up so you could only attack one of them.
Yep.
But you can't do stuff like that because you just cannot have it. Your necromancers can't order these guys because even if they're next to them, they'll be on a 6.
Yep.
Even though you ignore the enemy near. But and when you've lost 2 stands, stuff is so difficult to order.
Yep.
You're effectively just writing it off. You're saying, I can't, because normally you just initiative evade each time. Initiative evade, run away, try and keep my life, but you can't.
Do you think you could make it so, you know, that summon skeletons spell can be like a cast on your own damaged units to bring a stand back?
No, because That is one of the very few weaknesses I've found in the army. Mm-hmm. That and the fact that they do have to have 8 units of rubbish infantry. Like truly rubbish infantry. And the flyers are like lower mid table at best.
Yeah.
But at least they're flyers. But the fact that they have those weaknesses is absolutely vital, because without those weaknesses, if say you had initiative on undead, they'd be as broken as balls.
Well, they have it in ghouls.
They do, but they probably don't suffer the enemy near either with the ghouls. So
they do, yeah.
Oh, they do suffer the enemy near.
Yeah.
But they're no good to me. That's why I don't take them.
that's where you're wrong. You should I'm not wrong.
I don't give it. Whatever. Graveguard's where it's at. As I talked about in one of my videos over the summer. Mm-hmm. So the rules committee is going to be good.
Yeah.
We're going to achieve a lot. I really genuinely think we've got 21 people on board. We've got quite a few Americans.
Was it hard to find those people? Because I couldn't suggest anybody.
Oh, your suggestions on board?
No. I couldn't. Oh, yeah. Peter Lamb.
Yeah.
But I couldn't suggest more than that. No, and I thought we couldn't bring any more Brits in.
We could, because Jana's left.
Yeah, but I thought that was still, and we still couldn't bring any more Brits in. But that's cool.
Jana's left, and somebody else left. It's terrible with names. The epic player that we played with Jim up in when we went up to Warmaster World.
What?
Simon Hollyoak.
What, he was on the committee?
Yes, he was on the committee.
Was he?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Finger on the pulse.
When did he ever post anything?
He posted a few bits and bobs early doors. But he's gone as well. Yep, he's gone as well. And so's Janice, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why Janice, because Janice and Jim can talk with the same voice. But yeah, I didn't even. Well, okay, fair enough then. Oh no, it's cool because then when it comes around to voting season, like 21 major, like votes, that'd be fantastic. It'd be like, my God, there'd be some great changes come out of that. Eventually. If half of them go to print.
But and it's only even when they get past this vote, they only then just become
into developmental for a while. I've seen on the rules selector, it has that for Nippon. That's really cool. To see.
So then they get a year in the or two years for a really big change. Like the Nippon list needs a couple of years to bed in.
I think, especially as
this year's a write-off, in all honesty.
Yeah, it is. So I think for my minor ones, they're all going to be about trying to make Skaven worse.
That's what so I'm keep it for. Keep it real for the kids, yeah?
Yeah, no, I'm going to be like, Skaven worse. I'm going to make Skaven worse, like as in, I'll try and think up. But no, I'll make two changes for the worst and then one for the better. That's how I'll do it. So like make them worse there and
I'm not sure you'll get them through, but fair play to you. Knock yourself out. So next on the list, what have we got? We're going to talk a little bit about the Discord League. I'm not going to talk too much because
it's boring.
It's boring getting new players into the game, lots of new players that have never played the game before in a format that's never been done before, and it's good. Mm-hmm. Discord's good. If you want to talk shit about Warmaster, you can talk shit on Discord. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please use your real name. What is this fucking stuff?
Oh, I agree.
It's like...
I don't get it. I don't understand the whole thing.
Quat Warrior 66 or whatever. I mean, most of these are relatively reasonable, I guess. So anyway, this is running. I'm only saying this.
Hang on, you're winning it, Barry.
Of course I'm winning it, sir.
That is, you haven't lost a game.
Have you ever played me, sir?
No, but that's really like bad form, Barry. You shouldn't.
What do you want me to do? I can't win.
For a start, you shouldn't be using vampire counts.
Well, I've never used them apart from once at the London GT.
Where
I lost to Philip Ewells. Phil. He beat me with Chaos Warriors, I think.
And you shouldn't be using vampire counts and you shouldn't be winning. It's bad form. It's impolite, Barry. It's impolite.
It's the first time I've used, and I tell you what, if you get into one of these league situations and you're playing 9 rounds, that is a good innings with an army. I'm telling you, after I've played 9 rounds, I've faced various different positions. I know an army relatively well after nine rounds. And I'm going to pick a different army next time, obviously, because that's what you do.
So what, you're going to pick like Lizardmen or something? Like,
no, I can't play those, can I? Other people are talking about playing Lizardmen. I know the weaknesses of Lizardmen. Sometimes you'll just not beat them. If they get the drop on you, you're going to die. But they have the weaknesses too, Lizardmen.
Yeah, of course.
We've been playing. So the first three rounds were pitch battle. Then we did a couple of rounds of take and hold.
Hang on, bring it back up. Bring it back up to the army selections there. Chaos Dwarf, Orcs, Dwarves, Tomb Kings, Dark Elves. Okay, so there are some other good armies in there, but you've
what do you mean?
Bad play, Barry.
Look at Phil. Look at OG like... Phil. One win with demons.
what list is he pulling there? Like, what's his demon list?
I'll tell you the big problem. Let's see if we can open it up.
Has he taken two greater demons?
No, he took one greater demon there.
Oh, he's taken a greater demon.
Is that shown up on your screen?
Yeah, it's shown up, yeah. This is Phil's list. Four swarms, just too many. A greater demon, if he wants, he shouldn't really be using that.
I just won't let it kill enough. It's never going to earn its points back. It just can't.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
There's nothing inherently hideous about the list. A little bit light on the cavalry.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's done what you should be doing, which is taking the gentleman's list to a gentleman's league. I can't use that word. I'm too polite. List. you brought a gun to a knife fight, Barry.
I'm telling you now, this is the first time I've taken three heroes in a list. Mm-hmm. And there is no way I would run anything less than three heroes.
So this is yours, yeah. Eight graveguard, because obviously it's you. Four black knights, of course, why not? It's you. Yeah, like two fell bats, probably it's one too many, really.
I use them to kill stuff by charging
two black toes, two terror causing characters, of course. Barry, you should do that. Oh, you're just crushing noobs, like, you know, like hopes, aren't you?
No, they're not all noobs. Justin gave me a real good game, and so did Martin, and so did Nathan. Nathan, I was lucky that I caught in game one. Because he's been on a roll. He's only got one loss to me. He's been crushing people. Look at the size of his difference.
How long did it take you to play Justin online?
It was all right. I think we did it over a couple of nights, 2 hours a night, because I don't like to play too long.
Hang on, 2 hours a night? So how many sessions was that?
Two nights, like 4 hours tops.
4 hours game.
That's the maximum. That's 4 hours is all right, because you're talking shit as well. It's not...
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
Hey, listen, if you add in the time to drive to the bloody venue and back, 4 hours is not that bad.
I suppose so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's all been very good fun. We've got two rounds left. I got a bye because wingers... I don't know if you know Andrew Wingate. Yeah, Janice's mate, played Dwarves. He's not playing, so he's dropped, unfortunately. And then
you can't actually lose?
Yeah, I can lose to Andrew Shaw. Who's Andrew Shaw? He's got two wins, three losses, and a tie. He's playing Dark Elves.
But you can't lose the league.
Why can't I lose the league?
Because you haven't got enough game results, like, as in, you've got a bye, and there's, two rounds left?
Well, if Nathan wins both, he will have the same... If he wins both and I lose to Andrew Shaw, then he'll be at the same results as me, and his points difference is mad because apart from me, he's been destroying people.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I don't mind if I win or lose, but it's been good. It's been good. We've got 2 weeks to go. I'm going to try two more rounds to go. It's about a month to go. I'm going to try and get a US league and a non-US league, but if it doesn't happen, we'll just mix it up again.
Is that down to time difference problems?
Yeah, especially if you start getting like West Coast, because that the time difference is mad.
West Coast to East Coast.
West Coast. I think the West Coast is like 8 or 9 hours or something. That is mad. Yeah. And we do have an Australian who's plus 10 hours. But luckily, he was happy to play when he got home from work. So he was playing at like midnight his time, and it was like 10 o'clock on Saturday morning my time.
How strange. Like,
but that's what you have to do if you want to play plus 10.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and the Americans, if we were playing at 8 o'clock our time, that'd be midday their time. So if they're playing 7 o'clock in the evening, what's that?
Yeah.
It's like midnight East Coast and like 3 in the morning West Coast. It's like, well, I can't play that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a student.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can get it sorted. It's been really good fun. It's been nice to meet new people. Cool. If you want to play, then just get involved. We'll make it bigger and better next season.
Excellent.
The Demons from Blackgate are finished.
Yeah, that's cool. And I enjoyed finishing them as a project. That was great. Thank you.
As with all these things, there was a bit of sting in the tail that my sculptor, I don't know if he knew that the time of the elf was... What's that bit in The Lord of the Rings? Where the time of... Is it the time of the elf is past?
No. You're getting it quite wrong. So Gothmor says, the time of man is over. The time of the orc has come.
Right, okay.
What's your point?
So anyway, so I don't know if you wanted one last payday, but the last bill was like, oh my God, how much? So what, it's like...
Did he ask for more?
No, he didn't ask for more. He just sends the bill. He sculpts the stuff. He says, here's the bill.
Right,
here okay. It is, based on time done. And so I was like, fucking hell. So, yeah, that was a stinger. There's no way those last three units are going to pay themselves back anytime soon. Maybe not in my lifetime.
Sorry to hear that. But it's good that you've done the range.
Well, I said I'd get it finished, so it had to be finished.
Yes. Yeah,
nobody wants three quarters of a range, do they?
No, exactly. No.
It's not like you got like Lord of the Rings and we did two movies and then couldn't be asked for the third one. So you just have watched the first two. Yeah. If it's not complete, it's not worth doing.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, but with the next topic, we're going to talk a little bit about 3D printed.
Well, this is massive now. Like to me, this is like,
but is
yeah.
it?
It is. I mean, so you're Mr. Negative on it now.
I'm not negative. I'm just realistic.
Well, you're Mr. Negative anyway. So like, go on, like bemoan this one.
I can't bemoan it. So I'm three beers in now, almost. 3D printing. In all realisticness, I can't think of the word, is the future.
Yeah.
And to pretend it isn't the future, it's just insanity.
Right, okay, yep.
But it's not without its problems.
Yep.
I've just, before I came on the podcast, I printed 12 stands and some characters from Cromarty Forge's Dwarf Warriors with the round shields.
Yeah.
And they all printed beautifully. I'm using my Any Cubic clear resin stuff.
Anything goes cubic resin, got it.
That's the stuff. And I can't get it off the bloody print bed. I've tried, I even put it in the freezer for 10 minutes because that's supposed to work. Did it bollocks. So I put it in the freezer and I broke every single stand. The characters all came off really
well. So that's obviously a design flaw there, because like the people who made this machine 3D printing, they don't want you to break everything you print, do you? Getting it off the printer. So what are you not doing?
Well, there are lots of workarounds. So one thing you can do is you can put a raft and then some supports on the bottom of the base. So the stuff you smash to pieces isn't your miniature.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I could do is raise it up and put supports underneath it. So when I get my metal spatula and I start smashing the shit out of it, trying to get it off, yep. I'm smashing stuff that isn't the base or the miniature. So that's maybe what I'll do.
Yep.
Or alternatively, use a different resin, because as good as this stuff is, and I've now done 8 prints in a row, that's a lot for me, and no fails. So the resin, you don't have to do anything. I mean, when you print and there are no fails, it's like
the golden time.
Smelling rose. Yeah, everything's smelling rose. It's like you get a win at football. You feel like king of the world.
You're like Scotland qualifying for the Euro.
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's exactly like that. So you feel like king of the world. But every time you get a fail, it's like, this is a pain in the arse. Like, there is no equivalent. I cannot imagine doing this as a business.
Yeah, I mean, it was sad to listen to you feeling unwell doing it.
Well, you'd have to wear PPE and you'd have to have better ventilation than I can manage.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, you can't have it that you're in the evening feeling unwell.
No, God, no. It's not worth it. Yeah, it's like, that's your health, mate. Yeah.
Well, so it is what it is. But there are things 3D printers can do, especially at small scale, that just you can't do in pewter. It's just not possible.
Yeah. I mean, but aside from Barry's negatives, the positive is that, I mean, the stuff that's been coming out recently is amazing. like oh my god, look how good that looks. Like, yeah, it's just shit. Yeah, like
But I've got to, I mean, I'm shooting from the hip, but what I would say is I would caution anybody trying to say, oh, well, this is the end of my GW Metal stuff. The GW Metal stuff will absolutely always have value. Always have value.
Yeah, totally. Like, and from someone who's been selling a few things on eBay, so if it's from Games Workshop, it will sell. If it's from any other company, it might not sell. If it's from Games Workshop, it will sell. Well, they're called Sephron now, aren't they? Like Lizardmen.
Yeah.
So I've been selling some of them recently, and they just bing, 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 go, all go. And they're like, these are old kits. These aren't, you've listed it like Age of Sigmar and Warhammer. And they're just disappearing as soon as you list them, and it's like they aren't new, they're old. Like, yes, and I list them comparing them to exactly the same as on GW's site, but for less. So you buy 20 from GW, I'm listing them as 20 on eBay, but for a third off, and they just disappear instantly. Bing, gone.
So 3D printing from my degree in economics point of view. The marginal value of an extra unit of 3D printed stuff is non-existent. It's like pence.
Yeah.
So what if I come to resell these in a year or 5 years or 10 years time, stuff that I've used or whatever, there's no value to it, because the files, you can either buy them for like £3, say, yeah, I want to buy just the skeleton files. Yep. It's £3. Now, I went on my YouTube channel today and I said, like, who could begrudge £3?
Your YouTube channel.
The one that's Master got... Podcast. You don't... don't,
so,
you
so
don't
that, know. That's me as well, isn't it?
Yeah, with the 3D printing, Adventures in 3D printing. When you get your printer, you can join in. So who could begrudge Forest Dragon £3 for those skeletons?
No. Exactly.
For the sculpting. It's not possible to begrudge it. But... Once they're in the world, the technology is only going to get better.
Yeah.
So, and you've got your excellent miniatures or whoever else printing in detail or whatever they're called.
They've got
licenses.
Well,
what happens when the home printing stuff's as good as that? How much are they worth?
Well, excellent miniatures has contacted me separately, asking my advice on Walmart on how to market their own Warmaster stuff, and like they asked me for a load of army lists, for army builds, so they could like sell like a complete army, etc.
Fluffy armies, yeah.
Sorry.
Fluffy armies.
Well, no, they just
a little bit of like, everything.
Well, yeah, obviously it's like they want to. Like I that's what I gave them. It's like, okay, so this is a 1,000-point army list that uses like most of the options in the army.
See, I can see why they've come to you, because Paul would give them a little bit of everything list. He's like this, and then
yeah. Well, I'd be just like, Barry be like, I just want Saurus warriors and cavalry and fuck everything else.
I just want Graveguard. Forget the rest. Graveguard. Forget it.
The others might as well be tokens. I'm not going to use them. You're like, exactly. Who would come to you?
Like, it's true, but fair play to them, because I think it's excellent miniatures I've seen.
Yeah.
Are actually buying their own ranges. That is the only way to make money. You can't license somebody else's stuff and expect to make money long term, because it's like the ice cream seller in economic theory. So I'm selling ice creams. What does a rational, I'm trying to remember the term now, a rational operator, let's call it, what does the next rational operating ice cream seller do? Do you know what he does?
Sells it for less.
No, he sets up next to me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because all the people are already coming to me.
Oh, I got it, yeah.
And then I get half his takings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the problem is that until you've got something that you can protect, some IP that's yours, you're just selling stuff that anybody can print. And yes, your £10 prints might be better than my effectively free prints, but... how much better?
Yeah.
It's like infinitely better?
Yeah, because the excellent miniatures guy literally messaged me today and asked me if there was a unit entry in Warmaster for Demigryph Knights. And I said, well, you just use them as knights. Yeah, or you, yeah, it's in the, you would just use them as alternative models for knights. Or you
flying could... knights, Demigryph, what are you talking about?
No, Demigryphs couldn't. Do you know, remember what Demigryph Knights were?
No.
So, like, towards the end of Warhammer, Empire got the, you know, their monster is like a griffin.
Yeah.
The Empire's got one dragon locked in a cage somewhere, and the Emperor, and they also have griffins. They quite like to ride them. Well, Demigryphs are like smaller griffins that can't fly.
Why would I have a griffin that couldn't fly? It's just like an ostrich.
It's a different fucking race, Barry.
It's an ostrich. It's like I'm riding an ostrich.
Like, would you know, like they're crippled, all right?
What do they do that's different to a horse?
Well, they're much bigger than a horse for a start.
Right. You know, and how would this shoehorn its way into an Empire army?
Because they became Empire canon. They were like a new unit, you know, like for the Empire. You know, like,
so we're Space Marines now.
Well, yeah, no, it's just like, it's, you know, so an Empire army could take they were rare, but they could take a unit of Demigryph Knights. And they were like monstrous cavalry for Empire.
Not cool. People like cool stuff. Cool.
Yeah, of course. And they were cool. They were like, they weren't game breaking. They were just, they were like a different option for Empire. So the excellent miniatures person has been doing like ranges of Empire, like models and Bretoni models. And I said, well, that's how you could represent them in Warmaster, is you just, they're alternative knights. So if you have them one or two to a base, like, because they'll be like the size of demonic beasts, for example. Yeah,
that's big.
Well, okay, maybe a bit smaller than that, but it's like, yeah, that's how you would have them in the game system.
So you could use them as peg knights, I guess, but they don't have wings.
You could do, and they could equally solve that role, but I would just use them as alternative knight models.
Interesting.
It's been cool. It's like I've been giving away all this free advice, but I haven't gotten any reward from it, so never mind.
Oh, that's you'll get it in the next life. It's called karma.
It's karma, yeah, I suppose. But so, yeah, when you go on the excellent website, go on the website and you can look at the army buy, and that's mine. That's from me. That is.
That's you. A bit of everything. Yeah. I should send them my list.
No, it's your list wouldn't be a good market tool.
It wouldn't be. It'd be shit.
Yeah, your list would invalidate half the range.
What can I do? Maybe in January people will make stuff better, more options. Everybody happy.
Totally. I mean, so we are going back to a previous topic, but if I was a punter playing Warmaster and I now know that there's a Warmaster Rules Committee and this is how they're going to bridge the game forward, I think that's fantastic. Personally, it's like plus one from me.
Yeah, and there's a way you can influence it by getting on.
Yeah,
this
and
forum
there's like there's a way anybody can influence it, and you can catch the eye of what are your betters, and they might champion it for you.
I wouldn't call him a better, but a champion is what I call him. Mm-hmm. Anyway. I will say, because I need to go on record how far down the rabbit hole I am, and I have gone as cheap as you can go. So apart from the fact that I went for a mono printer, which if you're considering 3D printing, you have to go for a mono screen. The difference is, like, it sounds bizarre, but they used to use screens out of phones effectively, or tablets, and that would block the light getting to the resin, the screen.
Right.
And then it turned out that mono screens, just black and white screens, are much more effective at blocking out light. So you can use more light. Mm-hmm. So it's three times quicker. So when I printed a Bio Titan today.
Yeah, or did you? Bio Titan?
Or part of a Bio Titan. It was a big lump. It took 3.5 hours.
Oh, did it? Ooh.
And that's 3.5 hours. Now,
I'll have a Tyranid army, please.
If I was doing it at with the old machine, it would have taken 11 hours.
Oh, okay.
And if I was printing at a higher resolution, that times it by 2.5, it could be like a day and a half or something. So that can't happen. You can't be fannying around having a machine running, stinking the goddamn house out for like a day and a half printing something off. You need it like... You've got to have an acceptable level of detail, and you've got to have it running reasonably quick. So I can print off a set of 15 skeletons in about 80 minutes.
Yeah, cool. Reasonable. 15.
But I am already, as I've said, I've gone as cheap as you can go, and I'm already well over £400 now.
What, into having this machine? Yeah.
Into 3D printing. Look, they've got black game miniatures so they can soak this shit up.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to print a lot of stuff to get that back. And the good STLs you're still going to have to pay for. So, I mean, I don't begrudge Forest Dragon. I mean, I've subscribed to them today. So,
yeah, cool.
They're fantastic, and Cromarty Forge do excellent gear. But you've got to buy your STLs. That's not a big expense, to be fair. But I'm pretty sure you could go really, really, really dirt cheap. You could get an old generation Photon for about £150. You can build your old wash and cure station. I mean, you could wash it in just a bloody ice cream tub with a bloody toothbrush if you want, and you could cure them on your window. It'd take a little while in the UK, but you could definitely do it, and you could go as cheap as you want. But it's all about time versus money, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I mean, the thing is this. So what we've seen so far in this 3D printing is an outstanding range of wood elves from Forest Dragon, a developing outstanding, maybe even better range of vampire counts from Forest Dragon, a fantastic range of dwarves from Cromarty Forge. And it's like, but still, there's some dark elves coming from somebody. The problem is, it's like that. Like I went and bought a wood elf army because I didn't own wood elves. But it's still, it's like, and that's the thing. It's like you look at these like John's Cromarty Forges, like dwarves, for example. I think they look better than GW's like original dwarves, personally. It's like,
I like the round shields a lot.
Yeah,
like
it's just, in like their style of like. Of, you know, like an iron wall of shields. It's like, yeah, it's cool. They look more, I think they look better, but
you're talking about the square shields. I like those too, but
I know, but they say, but then you look at it and you're like, and I look at it and I'm like, okay, I own a dwarf army already. It's a finished thing. It's just like, I need them to do ranges I haven't already got.
Well, this is the other concern about your 3D printing. It's the gold rush.
Yeah.
It's the race to market.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you get to market quickly and half the people that are going to buy your stuff because it's first to market, then are they going to buy it again when the next stuff comes up, even if it's better? And how much better would it have to be to make you buy it again?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Because for example, like Vampire Counts, they're a big army to collect. Like the list side tend to run a like 13, 14 break. And it's, you know, That's a big army to do. Now, I've got up on the shelves in front of me here a big Vampire Counts army done. And it's like, and you're looking at it.
Yeah, but listen, you've got to be honest. They're not originals. Because if you tried to do that Vampire Counts army as an originals army, GW originals, you'd be looking over a grand.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't.
even using recasters, you're into the 300 mark.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and I look at that and I'm just like, would I want, at the moment I haven't felt like the need to buy something I already own, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because you're here, but lots of people are new to the game. And if you are new to the game, my last word on this before we move on is the danger. And I'm in a very lucky position in that I have a lot of hobby time during the day because my kids are at school and I'm a house husband and I've got Blackgate and I spend a lot of time just doing hobby stuff. The danger is that 3D printing becomes your hobby because you don't have time for anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Because you, without realizing it, all you're doing is you're just printing stuff for the sake of printing it.
But it takes a lot of time and effort and energy to print stuff and to clean stuff and to make stuff and you can end up. I've spent days this week where I haven't done anything apart from 3D printing and recording the YouTube. And you go like, hang on a minute, I've just spent like 4 or 5 hours doing 3D printing. It's like, if you can work and earn money, then is it worth me spending 4 or 5 hours doing 3D printing when I can be earning money? Mm. I don't know. It'll be a different choice for everybody.
I did something I saw recently on a similar topic is, so you're listed off the back of your video, like links other videos, and it had one from an Australian guy who does a lot of Middle Earth stuff. Zorba is his like YouTube thing. Anyway, he had his literally his title of his video was "Since when did 3D printing get so good?" And he was sent he sent a 3D printed dragon, generic dragon, which dimensions wise worked very well for Middle Earth. And it's like, there are two army lists that have a dragon in it, one Moria goblins, and the second one is fucking Smaug itself anyway.
Well, you're talking about 28 mil stuff here.
28 mil stuff, yeah. Ooh. So he basically got this lovely dragon model, and his main point of the video was this was $20. Like the dragon cost $20. And it was just like,
what,
and
it looked, how was it produced?
Well, I don't know. He doesn't go into like, he didn't print it. He was sent it by someone who knows who, like, yeah.
You're not talking about these Chinese fraud world bloody websites, are you?
No. It was a home printed dragon, 28 mil dragon model, and he painted it up in like in it because he's a very good painter, and he set it into a diorama. He's very good about that. His videos are really cool because they spice footage. I don't know, like pays the IP or something, but he has actual footage of the movies spliced into his battle reports, which is quite cool. Anyway, but he was just like, the point was this dragon looks fantastic and it's so cheap, there you go. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like from you, Barry, that 28 mil scale stuff is too expensive to print.
Not necessarily expensive, because the resin's cheap enough. It's just, I think the time and effort might be quite difficult.
Yeah.
But that's it. I think, when I was younger, you were time poor. No, that's the wrong way around. You were time rich and money poor. And now, as you get older, it kind of flips over and you kind of realise that you could spend a lot of time doing something, but really, should you?
Well, no, but I mean, something I've been doing recently is picking up scenery on eBay. People like YouTube shot, finished scenery, and I picked up some fantastic scenery. And you look at it, and you're like, well, it's always with the scenery is things. Well, you could do it yourself, make it yourself, print it in shelf. But then you're like, or I could just buy it, and it's done instantly, isn't it? It's like because that's something I'm going to do with Rid is we're going to play through the quest for the Ringbearer, the Middle Earth.
Yeah,
and of course it's about recreating scenes from the movies, and people make the scenery, don't they? And it's like, there's going to look some fantastic games coming up when we're allowed to play them
in 2025. So. Let's do our list of question, and then we'll be nearly finished, won't we? So, can you see this yet?
I got it.
Right. So we have. Okay. Here we go. I mean, it's not very good. You can see all the inner workings.
Yeah.
So, Jacob Gonzalez, greetings to Barry and Paul from sunny California, USA. I just wanted to reach out and say I appreciate the time you take to put out this swell podcast.
Swell.
I have thoroughly enjoyed both of your humours and the insights into this lovely game. I spent the last couple of months working my way through all your episodes. I've actually heard another guy said to me that he's gone back and listened from episode one during lockdown. And he said how good the music was back then. But obviously we can't do that because that's illegal and stuff. So we're not. We can't go playing music that we don't own. I spent the last couple of months working through my way through all your episodes. Wow. And I've recommended it to all my gaming group to generate interest in Warmaster. That is the best thing about the moment. The zeitgeist we are at is that Warmaster and 3D printing and stuff has created a massive influx of players.
Like, yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
A crazy influx of players, which is brilliant. If we ever get out of the other end of this, it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Not much more I wanted to say other than great job. I look forward to the renaissance this game is looking like it's entering, even despite the pandemic. Absolutely. So PS, unrelated to Warmaster, I don't know if either of you mentioned playing the Marvel Crisis Protocol game, but I highly recommend it. Come on, get it out, Paul.
Flip the camera back.
What's wrong with the Night Miniatures game?
Well, it's dead.
Yeah, but what's dead may never die.
Yeah, but it was dead and had its problems.
So
it
was dead. Warmaster was dead.
Yeah, but it didn't have its problems.
It had lots of problems. I highly recommend it. I seem to recall you had played a different Marvel game in earlier podcasts.
Yeah, you just mentioned it. Yeah,
nine cool. miniature stuff.
So this is so once I've done the Chasseurs of Cheval, I shall paint my Avengers.
It's all out of date, mate.
What is?
Captain America's gone. He's like Falcon now, isn't he?
Oh yeah, whatever. Like yeah, it's like it's.
Isn't he? I'm just
no, but it's cool. It's like so there's guys in our gaming club, my usual crowd of people I play things at, who are all playing Marvel Crisis Protocol, and that seems to have caught the attention of the ex Guild Ball, ex War Machine crowd.
Oh, that's a bad news bears. That's bad. We we discuss. The plague descends. The game destroyers descend.
Yeah,
uber competitive players migrate to a game system and ruin it.
Yeah, but basically, and it'll hold their attention for a while until
they destroy it.
Until it displeases them in some way.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a good old. I think we've done quite a while, you know, nearly 2 hours in, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's way too much for most people that have tuned out fucking ages ago. But...
Well, probably.
But, so we'll do the Beastman list next time.
Yeah, I've written a really cool list for that, actually. A
little bit of everything.
Yeah. No. This is a good army, I think.
I'm telling you now, if you don't have four Saurus in here with the army that have Saurus without any kind of negatrate attached to the army.
Oh, what, you mean Bestigors?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
You don't have four of those? Come on.
No, I'm... So my army is different from yours, clearly, my build. I've got a... Can you flick it back to my face? Because I don't know what's going on.
Oh, sorry. How could you get past four of those? They were only allowed four. How could you not take them?
Because in a Beastman army, it's about ambush.
Okay.
You know, like, so you can't put them in ambush, can you?
Nope.
No, but you can put, you know, what are you meant to do with Beastmen? You're meant to ambush. And that's, you know, so I think it'd be good because my army is going to be very different from yours.
There's no list I'm writing for Beastmen that doesn't have four of those fellas in. It's impossible.
Yeah, like...
Impossible. Anyway, okay, good stuff. So I'll see you in a week or two, Paul.
Yeah. I mean, my social calendar is a pretty light at the moment.
Till 2nd of December at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you're locked in. Is it 2nd Wednesday? 2nd, I think it is. That's when you're locked in till.
Apparently so.
Right, well, that was episode 150 of War Master Podcast. You can find us on the Facebook page or at warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yep. Thanks very much for listening. Nice to be back.
Would you like to know more?